Welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. I'm your host, Cyrus Alderwood, the official spokesman for Generation X. Stick around. It's going to get weird, as always. All right, so everyone, welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. Elizabeth Cooper back. We're talking moonshine stories, as Elizabeth is about to live one out for herself. And but I was just talking about how I tried this moonshine one time, and it was some blueberries. And you're having peach, and damn, that looks good.
I am.
That's gotta be yummy.
I told you that I had all this chilled wine, and I was so excited because I just don't get a chance to get a glass of wine, right? And I looked in the refrigerator and I was like, darn it. I took it all in the RV and I left it there. So that's up the road in storage. I'm not going up there and get wine. So I grabbed what I had, which is this old smoky Tennessee moonshine. It's peach shine. And then I grabbed, this has got to taste like the bottom of the garbage can, but I don't know, Chi-Chi's peach margarita. And I figured if the show goes long, I got another one. And this is Chi-Chi's Mai Tai. So I'm eating the peach right now. The first couple of tastes, that was a hard pucker. Now it just tastes like peaches, like normal peaches, and I'm really concerned.
Yeah, you wanna go really slow with that? Because that shit can kill you. No kidding. That's but moonshine is like, so I've shot whiskey before, right? And I thought, well, I've had my fair share of Jaeger bombs. Yeah, I'll take a couple, three shots of this stuff. And then four, and then five. And they're like, dude, you are a god among men. And I'm like, I must have the liver of the devil, I've been told, right? You know, it's not my fault. I can handle mass quantities, but I do it. But, you know, whenever I get around to doing it, it's like, people are like, you haven't lost your touch. It's like, it's funny because I haven't drank in 6 months. But, so I drink this stuff. It's like, I got sick. So I got home. My sister had to bring me home because I couldn't find my car in the driveway in front of me. So she drives me home. And when they say blind drunk, I guess I experienced it and didn't know it. I get home, you know, back to my place, and I go in. And I must have thrown up a lot because, like, I thought it looked like I'd eaten a village of Smurfs because it was blue everywhere. And I'm like, that's a lot of blueberries in that shine. And I would like to thank whichever officers it was that brought that to us. If they're listening, back when it was not legal. Thank you, gentlemen. Woke up in the tub the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the tub. In the bathroom. Oh my gosh.
Didn't remember going there.
Wow. Well, I remember my first experience with moonshine. And I had heard of it, but I really didn't know what it was or how you make it. And now, thanks to cable TV, we all know how to make it, right? And then I realized one of the moonshiners I went to high school with, so he was making it. And I was in his presence, like, while the whole... Anyway, it was muscadine wine. I love that stuff. That was so smooth. And I am a whiskey girl all day, every day, if I could, which is a good thing that I have kids because I'm not an all day, every day, because I probably would have been 6 feet under by now. But I mean, I could just drink that stuff like water. The muscadine wine, oh, so good. It's so good. Oh, I wish like we had, there's such a difference. All right, let me back up rewind in my mind for a minute so that it makes more sense to the exterior environment around me listening to this ramble. But I wish that I had some of the bootleg stuff because it's like sweeter and smoother than what you can buy at the liquor store. And I don't get it because this is supposed to be peach moonshine. Now I've had peach also, and I mean it's like a juice, you know? And this, I feel like I'm drinking a little bit of rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, it's not nearly as good as the stuff that used to be made illegally.
Right.
Not that I know well about that. Because I was never
Oh,
really I was never really a big shine drinker. But there have been like a couple of occasions where like, well, back in grad school, somebody got some, brought it over. But you know, one thing I learned how to do when I was in Cincinnati, a guy I was friends with was a brewmaster, and I learned how to make my own beer. And I actually
no.
bought labels, we bottled it. It was called Pax Americana. It's called
Okay.
Schweingruber's Best. It turned out to be a damn good beer, because there was a place in Cincinnati that's still there. This guy who was an attorney, he quit his job at the law firm to like just go make beer all the time, and it's called Listerman's, and you can order online and have this stuff. They're pre-made kits that you can get. It gives you instructions on how to do it. If anybody's doing it at home, those kits are great, but you have to be like. That phrase cleanliness right next to godliness means a lot when you're making alcohol, because it doesn't take much in the way of germs to taint something or make you sick.
Really?
Yeah. So we were using like rubbing alcohol clean and everything now.
Yeah.
Everything. From countertops to like the buckets, we were 5 gallon buckets or 10 gallons, whatever we were using to make the beer. And then of course we had a turkey fryer out back. When that stuff starts boiling, that rolling boil. It smells like you're making bread. And people are like, whoa, what is that? And that's when you let your, you bag up your hops and your barley and whatever you're putting in it, and you put it down in there and just let it boil and cook into the water. And then later on you do your fermentation and your he had a refrigerator specially made where you could adjust the temperature for beer. So I just left it over his place, and when it was ready, we tasted it, and like, okay, it's good, let's bottle it. And I made several different kinds. It was fun.
So, okay, so you said that it has to be really clean, really sterile.
Yes.
So, what happens if it's not? I guess it just bacteria grows in it, or
Yeah,
what?
yeah. You'll tell when
Ooh.
you open up, you can tell if you've ruined your beer or not. And if you and sometimes like if you taste it, like give yourself like a half a bottle. And if you feel, if you don't get sick, you're okay. You know what I mean? But I would bottle them in like 16-ounce bottles or 20-ounce bottles and drink a little bit. It's like, okay, it's good. But yeah, but he was, I never really worried about it with him because he was just the most anal retentive asshole when it comes to cleaning and beer making. Like, it's like going to, it was like beer boot camp. You do this now. Okay. All right. But yeah, you learned how to make your own beer, and it was kind of cool.
My ex-husband got into that after we divorced, and he was making his own beer because he did what you were just mentioning. He bought a kit, and gosh, it was about 15 years ago. Those kits were super popular, and a
Yeah,
lot
the
of
Mr.
people,
Beer. Yeah.
yeah, they were making a lot of basement beer stuff. And so he made some, and I guess he enjoyed it. He really wasn't someone that had any type of culinary skills or knowledge or anything. So before we actually physically separated and I moved into my new house, I taught him how to cook. And then from that, you know, all of a sudden I hear like he's making his own beer and he's got a smoker and he's grilling
Yeah.
food. And I'm like, come on, good for him. But yeah, he was into it. Like he really, you know, he'd have the guys over and they'd all taste the beer and I didn't know that you kind of drink half the bottle. You do self-sacrifice. You drink half the bottle. If you don't
Oh
get
yeah.
sick, it's good.
Yeah,
What
before I give it to anybody, yeah. Like I didn't want because see the guy Mark that I would make beer with, like I said, he was passionate about beer. He'd been doing this for like since Carter made it legal. And he was barely out of
is
high school, right? So he's like, he's been doing this since like Kraftwerk put an album out back in the 70s. So he was
that?
really good at this stuff. And he was like, so he would make a cherry flavored ale, and people are a lager, cherry flavored lager, and people would buy it by the case from him at Christmas, like under the table, because it was that good. As long as he paid, you paid for the the bottles and the ingredients and all that stuff, and tipped him a little bit. He just loved doing it. But he was, I think he actually became a beer master at one of the breweries in Cincinnati eventually. And but yeah, it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, I learned how to make an ale, I learned how to make a lager, a pilsner. So we got really detailed on this stuff. And he would say, okay, you got this kit. The kit's okay. Like, even if it was Listerman's and it was really high-end stuff. He's like, yeah, the yeast I give you in this, it's like a powdered yeast. You don't want to use this. Let's go over here and use this yeast. It's liquid form. And we would find these different things to mix and match, and it would really enhance the beer and the flavor. And sometimes you would put maybe a different type of hop in. You'd have like mostly one type of hop for a beer, and then like you would sample like a, I don't know, maybe like a quarter of a bag of another hop, and just like change it up a little bit and give it a little extra kick or flavor depending on what you liked. It was really cool. Yeah, so it was he would always ask like, do you want to brew it for alcohol content? I'm like, no, I want to brew it for taste, and just whatever the alcohol content turns out to be is whatever it is. And he was like, good, that's good. So my alcohol content usually stayed between 3 and 4
Oh,
for one.
that's pretty low, right?
That's typical for like what you'd buy in a one of these.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I've got some Yingling in the fridge, so I'm gonna be switching up to something a little bit better here in a minute. But
Was to ask you what you were drinking because I couldn't see anything because you have the Gonzo Chronicles behind you. Appropriately so, but
no, I went
interesting.
out for a quick beer run. I was gonna get Sierra Nevada. If they had like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale or Torpedo, because I really like that brand. But because I don't know, I drink some of the, I call this swill anyway. It's not like it's my favorite. It's like the go-to when there's nothing left there, And I live in a small town, so back in Cincinnati, I would go into like Beer Palace, and you got like a thousand things to drink. But here it's like, whatever's on the shelf. So I got Yuengling tonight, and they had sold out of Sierra Nevada. Damn it. Even though I asked them to have it on order because I'd like to go in about once a week, grab a sixer, but that's okay.
So, just a little heads up to the fans of the Gonzo Chronicles. If they were to send you beer as a thank you to all the efforts of entertaining us, what type of beer would it be? Would it be a Sierra Nevada?
I would say Sierra Nevada Pale Ale would go at the top of my list.
Okay.
If you don't mind spending a few extra bucks, Fat Tire, that's a really good lager. Again, I hate to admit it, but I did kind of become a beer snob. If I'm gonna spend, if I go to a bar and I'm spending money at a bar out somewhere, I'm gonna get something good. Like I'm not drinking Bud Light. You know what I mean? Or Miller Lite for that matter. I'll get something good. Or if all else fails, the Sam Adams.
All right, so if you and I were at a bar and you had to buy me a drink, what would you buy?
It wouldn't be a beer. It would be a wine, or yeah, I could always get you maybe a Tom Collins.
Oh, that's my mother's favorite drink. She
Or
wants a Tom Collins and she wants the goose. She's got to have the
the Grey
goose in it.
Goose, gotta have the Grey
Like,
Goose.
what are you, Mom? Like some you're not Italian. We're not in New York. You don't go up to a bar and say, around a geese.
Yeah. Like I would know what that meant if somebody walked up to a bar and said that. Or maybe Fuzzy Navel, peach schnapps, a little touch of vodka, and yeah. I don't know. What do you drink? If you're going into a bar and you want something nice, what do you drink? What do you order?
Depends on my mood. So if I'm just there to relax, de-stress, talk to some people, it's going to be wine. Nice German wine. I don't like anything too dry. And I don't really touch red wines because the tannins do give me a headache, just like many other people. So it's going to be a sweet white wine, right? If I'm in the mood to I don't know, get out there, dance, have a good time, it's going to be a Jack and something. A lot of times it's Jack and ginger, but forever it was always just Jack on the rocks. But Jack will take my blood sugar and tank it, so it brings my blood sugar down too low. So I splash it, with a little ginger, figuring that's a good yin and yang. Give
Yeah.
Jack somebody to play with, a little ginger in there is good. If I'm gonna do unspeakable things. Now, this is just between you and I. I'm sure nobody else is gonna hear this, but and they will, they will. But if I'm to do unspeakable things, Jägermeister comes out, and Jäger tells me to do wacko stuff.
Yeah, I've had yeah, those shots of Jaeger. Like, I used to go to the Hofbräuhaus in Cincinnati. If this happens to be one of those that no one should ever hear, let me know.
No, everybody, I mean, everybody can hear it. I know that you have an amazing following and they're going to hear it, and that's fine. And we're just having fun. We're not in anything.
So I go to Opera House, and a friend of mine was the entertainment guy there. He played the accordion, like the polka and all that stuff. He was the band, yeah, drummer, and he plays this, and he would sing, and he would have everybody up dancing, doing the whatever, like German restaurant, Opera House. And if you really want, like, anybody that knew him that walked in would buy him a Jaeger, shot of Jaeger. And he would sit there and like he would like Prost, and like you'd have to shoot one with him if you did it. And wow, there were some nights where it's like, dude, I don't know how you played. I don't know how you stood up there and played and sang. And he's like, liver of iron, buddy, liver of iron. He's like, I'm German. You gotta like, so my heritage is like half German, half Irish. So I try not to drive. So I'm never running for office because I would start a world war over alcohol. So, but yeah, we would do that, and we would have a good time down there. Thankfully, I had to ride home on those trips. But yeah, if you're gonna do one, like, have a little wild night, a little wilder than what you planned on Jaeger, and there were some wild nights at
Yeah,
times.
it's that weird gremlin part of my brain that usually I just stuff her in a corner, and in the other corner is the little fat girl that lives up there that just wants to eat cookies all day, all night. And I'm like, no, sit down, eat a carrot. But the little gremlin comes out and she's like, ooh, let's do some wild stuff and film it. And then I wake up the next morning and I've got pictures that I would have never taken. Yeah.
Why have
So
we never talked on nights like that? Oh, damn it. I've got video of me trying to like swing from the ceiling fan in boxers. I don't understand what. Like, I don't know. I woke up with dollar bills shoved in my underwear. I didn't even go anywhere that night. I don't know how that happened. I don't just don't know.
That's a
Don't know.
good Jack Knight. See, that's the dollar bills and stuff. That's okay to give you sort of like a depth. How would like a meter, some sort of meter or something of craziness. Wine is going to bring me up to like cuddling, kissing. It's the clingy, right? The clingy comes out, which she annoys me, but she comes out. And then you jack it up to Jack, and that's where I'm dancing. And we will find some part of the building to make like a mock stripper pole, and we're just dancing like Lucille Ball, trying to dance as a stripper, which doesn't happen. It's just hilarious. And then you wake up the next morning, and we have ones in our clothing from we don't know who, but clothing never came off. We just don't know who. Yeah, and then we've already discussed Jaeger. Jaeger is she is a gremlin.
She is, and you do things that, like, I don't know. It's just like you just do things. You don't even ask
I do.
questions. You don't even ask why. You don't ask why.
I know.
I didn't
I
realize
know. Like,
after. Oh, go ahead.
oh, so Temu, right? Like, Temu is a really, really cheap place online that you can shop. So, we all know I have this problem. I wake up in the middle of the night, I get on my phone, I start looking at things, and I'll purchase things. Okay, it's never for a lot because even when I'm in that twilight, I'm frugal. So this is my sleepwalking, if you will. So I bought something that I thought would be a really great bathing suit, and it showed up. Now, if you brought out the Jaeger Gremlin, she'd be like, right on. No, you can see through it. How was this ever a good, I don't even know what, how is that even, that's not a bathing suit. So those things happen. How about you? Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and just shop for things?
I don't know if I shop, but like I will scroll through and send funny memes to people in email or text. Like, I try not to text in the middle of the night, but I've done this to you on like Instagram. I'm like, I've come across something funny, and you probably wake up the next morning, check your Instagram. It's like, son of a bitch just bombed me 30 times. Like, what in the hell? And like, only two of them were actually funny. What was he thinking?
I do the same thing.
You know, I did got well, a little inebriated. One. Yeah, that's embarrassing. I'll admit this.
No,
This is
bring it.
what
Come on,
I
I told
was.
you about
This was that's a hot bikini, by the way. That is awesome. So I was like, well, when I was dating and I was shopping online and this girl was over. We'd went out, had a few drinks, come back, and she's like, "Hey, what are you buying on this or that?" And you know, just looking around online. She pulls up a chair beside me. We're still having some drinks, and a couple of friends were over too. So they're sitting in the living room while we were sitting in front of the computer watching stuff. And she nudged me. She goes, "Oh, I'd really like this." And then, like, it was an adult toy. And
Oh.
I'm like, "All right." But so anyway, I'm like, "All right, where does this get shipped to?" And but she like, I don't know. She was really like witty and funny. So she sort of took advantage of that. She's like, she would email me like, "Hey, I kind of like this toy. You want to buy this one for me too?" And I'm like,
I
some
love
point,
her.
I'm like, what's in it for me? Like, all right, do I at least get a review of how this is or like how this works? But yeah, that was interesting. But no, usually if I'm up shopping a lot at night, I'm such a nerd. I'll be like on Amazon. It's like, yeah, I'll throw that in the cart. I'll throw that in the cart. But it's never really anything risque. It's like, I don't know why. I thought I could use like a pack of like X-Files stickers. Okay, but I got it. I have them here. I don't know why I thought I needed a lot of like Rocky and Bullwinkle stickers, but I have those too. Don't know where the hell that came from.
Amazon's so great because you can put it in the cart and then you never ever check out. That I do that, you know, and I should do that with the other stuff too. But yeah, I got a toy too. It showed up the other day and I'm like, two things showed up. That was one of them. And I look at this box and I'm like, what is this? It's one of those remote control toys where she's
Okay.
wearing it and he's in the
He
vicinity or whatever.
gets to use
And
the,
he
yeah.
can control it like on his phone. And I'm like, this is dangerous. Why did I order this? And then a box of mushrooms showed up. And I'm like, what? When did I order mushrooms? And I don't even know what kind. I'm too afraid to open the box. I don't even know what's in there. Excuse me. It's probably just like lion's mane or something totally benign, but
Yeah.
I ordered mushrooms.
Well, congratulations. Let me know how that works out for you, because I have a story, a mushroom story for you. All right.
Oh,
It's,
tell me.
I will, but I'm going to pause for a moment
Okay.
for a commercial break, actually, yeah, to go tinkle and grab a fresh cold one. So I'm going to pause this. All right. Terrible confession that I hope the parental unit never hears. And if my sister hears it, ignore it. And so do you, my little niece. Don't ever do the things I did. Well, you know, within reason, I guess. So anyway, I'm in grad school, and a friend of mine from my hometown comes up, and I was kind of shocked because, you know, we were just friends, but she was a Bible thumper, but she brought mushrooms. She's like, "I'm not going to use these." I'm like, "Well, I've never had these. I've never done drugs, right?" So, like, I smoked pot one time and I got choked up. Like, I couldn't do it. I was like, "Well, just give me the beer because this obviously is not going to work well for me." So I was never into that. But the one time I tried this was insane. So I take this, like, I put it on a sandwich because I don't know how to do this stuff, and apparently I ate all of them. Because they sort of tasted like I didn't like the taste. And so I just took the bag and I put it on a sandwich with like some other stuff, ate it real quick, and chased it with a cold one. And I didn't realize the effect this was going to have on me. So about an hour later, I'm like, "This is nothing. It's not kicking. It's not kicking at all. I'm disappointed. Maybe I should go out on a beer run." And about that time, my phone rang, and it was this other person I knew from school, grad school. "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "I'm thinking about going out and grabbing some drinks, coming back here. I'm just going to keep a low-key night because I kind of did something that didn't work out. But probably shouldn't be out just in case it kicks in. What'd you do? I told him. He's like, dude, how much did you take? I'm like, I don't really don't know. I just whatever is in the bag. How many little snippets did you take? Did you take stems or caps? Like both. Like I didn't know there was a difference. So I'm like, all of it. What are you talking about? He's like, when did you do this? I was like, about an hour ago. Don't leave your house. I'm gonna bring you something to eat and I'm gonna bring you some beer. Just ride it out for the evening. Don't promise, swear to God, you won't leave. I'm gonna take your keys. So he comes over, takes my keys, and leaves. Leaves me with some Taco Bell, which I've never had before, because it just sounded disgusting. So he leaves Taco Bell and a 12 pack. I'm like, well, I'm not feeling anything. I'm, I was just gonna sit around and watch TV anyway, right? So crack one open, crack two open. The third one was like I don't know, it was waving in my hand when I was holding it. It looked like ripples going down the. I'm like, anyway, that's not right. That doesn't look right. So I took a drink of it. And I was like, tastes okay, I guess. But this, wait a minute, I don't think this is beer. So I go and I open my refrigerator, and it's like Zool came out from like Ghostbusters, and open the refrigerator. It's like, whoa, like this light. So for whatever reason, about 20 minutes later, I decided like the color white hated me. I don't know why the color white hated me, and it was hot as hell in this apartment, but it really wasn't. It was like early January, the semester just started. It was cold outside, like bitter cold. So I opened the windows. I'm like, all right. So I'm thinking, okay, white doesn't like me. Fine. I go put on every stitch of white clothing I can find just to piss it off. And as I'm walking back into the living room, it's like I'm walking on water, like the carpet's rippling like waves. And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. So I end up laying down and I hear like bombers overhead, like I'm in World War II or something. And then I'm laying down, I can see like it's the sky, but it's like cloudy gray and the clouds are going over, but it's the ceiling. And I'm like, wait, where'd the ceiling go? It was like one of those weird nights. Weird nights.
So what did you say when you came back with the beer and stuff?
Well, he had already come back and left at that point. So when I
Oh,
was
so.
drinking beer, that's when like all this stuff started kicking in. And then I think I dozed off and I talked to John Lennon. And
Really?
then yeah, and then I'm like, where's God? Where did he go? Where's he at? It's like, and then all of a sudden I got distracted, like, hey, the rabbit's over there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but it was like so weird. And then later on that evening, a friend of mine stopped by. This girl, it's like, hey, we were, that I knew, it was like a circle of friends. And she's like, we kind of expected you down at McAdoo's tonight. Where you at? I'm like, hey, come on in. Like that, she's like, okay, like what is wrong with you? And why is it 5 degrees in your apartment? Well, so he starts closing the windows, like, you're gonna die. What is wrong with you? And why are you wearing a white shirt, a white t-shirt, white jeans? Like, what is good? Like, yeah, they didn't like me. So I showed them or whatever. And I'm like, do you hear that? She's like, I don't hear anything. Like, apparently I had a great time after that. I don't realize the extent of what, but I was walking on like carpeted water and I saw planes overhead, clouds. It was great. It was like a psychedelic experience, it kind of was. That was the last time I ever.
So, wow.
Yeah.
I have no experience with them whatsoever. I just remember when I moved to LA, I had some people that I had worked with on set and some friends and things. And one of these friends said, "Come on, let's go out to dinner." I'm like, "Okay, that's really nice." And, it was soon after I got there. And they go, "Welcome to the bubble zone." And I'm like, "Okay." And they're like, "That's what we call the South Bay." And I couldn't stand Los Angeles. So I stayed, like an hour outside the city by the beach and all that because it was pretty and people were fairly normal. And man, fairly normal. Do I have stories? But he goes, "So you're gonna meet a lot of people. And when you do, and they give you mushrooms, don't do the cap and the stem together." And I'm like, this is your wisdom? Like, this is what you wanted to go out. So he had me so freaked out. I never touched any of it. And then I realized the people that seemed normal weren't really normal. They were just really loaded.
Yeah.
And so the housewives would have boyfriends that they would hook up with before they went out to dinner with their husbands
Wow.
because it was sort of like a fluffer situation. It was strange.
That is strange. That is strange. But I realized that night, one of the things that mushrooms, I don't know, you kind of break a barrier and like you don't go back. Yeah. I broke a barrier that night that like never went back. So
So how can you explain that? Because I've heard that so many times. You know, of course, we've heard like mind opening and all that kind of stuff, but what does that mean to you?
well, it broke a barrier in like two different ways. Like one, when it comes to like my mind, I realized the next day that our minds and our creativity and our spirituality was a lot more than I ever anticipated. Not that you could find truth or answers in drugs, because you can't. Like it's just not there. It's not there, and it's on the bottom of the bottle. But so that's when I started looking at like spirituality and faith and everything in a very different way. And it was very, at that point, it was like, this is not a big shared experience, man. This is a personal thing. So like I started reading a lot of different things at that time. I started getting into like the beat writers from the right after World War II, but before Vietnam, like Jack Kerouac and some of the bohemian type stuff. But like I was realizing, okay, that's that lifestyle is not me, so I realized that life was a search, and sometimes you have to like search and experience different things. And like I had like that particular night, like if you could ever like break a taboo of something you've never done that you've always been nervous to do and you thought maybe trying. That was like, if I'd had an opportunity that night, I probably would have. But I'm sort of glad I didn't, because I wasn't in my right mind. But like after that, it's like, I didn't have any inhibition about doing certain things if I was in a dating relationship. So that was certain things, meaning like, girls go down on guys all the time. Guys seldom ever go down on girls. You got to learn sort of what you're doing. And
I see what you're saying.
I didn't have a fear of like trying something like that after. So, and I realized, like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I was engaged at the time, but she had this inhibition about, like, that never happened and was afraid of trying something new. And, like, I'm like, okay. So, like, once you tried it a little bit, she was like, ooh, but some people just sort of have to break out of a shell, and they don't know how to break out of a shell. If that makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah,
And I
totally.
think
So,
that one night, like, just sort of opened my mind up to, like, it's okay.
cunnilingus?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I must have at some point been fixated on it during that night. I don't know why. During a part of that experience, and like I was just there by myself. But it's like, it was, I don't know, because it's always, and just in life in general, just being a giving person, it's like, why in those most intimate moments are you not as giving as, So anyway, but I know some, just over my dating life over the years, I noticed that some are, but you gotta be very picky, obviously. And you don't just anybody, but it's like, some
So,
people are comfortable and some aren't.
you let the cat out of the bag, right? So I've got to ask some questions. What do you like and what don't you like about that, about going down on a woman?
I think as far as likes, it's very easy to like pinpoint likes. Her enjoyment from it, first and foremost. And if she's like an active participant in it, like somebody just laying there, they may enjoy it. But someone who's gonna, sometimes when people are vocal, that's a very hard thing to do to somebody. It's like when you start doing something like that, give, if you care about the guy, give, if you really want the most out of the experience, give the guy a little help. Tell him what you like and what you don't like. It's okay. And women have this inhibition where they just don't talk about it, or don't don't know how to enjoy it in the moment. So like things like, hands on the back of the head, or or like filling hips, wiggling around. It's somebody that's really into it, really enjoying it, and not afraid to be in the moment. That is like the best part. So it's really, it just that kind of like spurs somebody on to like what they want to do next to like increase the enjoyment, or what, not be afraid to explore a little more when you're there. Meet and
I
feel.
totally get what you mean. I think that goes, both ways for women pleasing men as well, is that like if he's just gonna stand there, sit there, lay there, whatever position he is, and you don't get any reaction, it's just dead air. It's like watching a TV show. Like you're not gonna watch it if nobody's saying anything. It's just dead air. So you
Yeah.
kind of like it's a vacuum that takes the passion out of it. And I can't imagine just laying there and like I'm a hot wire. You touch me, I move. I talk, I like just hot wire. And to have somebody that just doesn't move at all, I'd be like, yeah, peace out, girl. I'm gone too.
Yeah, it's I think it's just a nervous thing where somebody hasn't experience, and it's not like I've done that to a lot of different people. I haven't. It's just, but when you kind of click with somebody when it does work, it's like you really get a lot of enjoyment out of that, and that is a sort of a regular thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, that was like part of my mushroom experience. Like just that just sort of, I don't know, just broke a shell around me, and I wasn't the same person I was before, but I wasn't like better or worse. It was just different, Like people grow over time, and I think for whatever reason, that experience, I just sort of took a step forward that probably would have took a few years. And mentally, I think, just as far as exploring other things, I like to read, learn, try, and did it impact my dating life? Not, I don't know, not really, but just. Because man, I've had enough disasters right in my life, but yeah, but it it is what it is. So I mean, would I change that experience? No, I don't think so.
That's interesting because there's so much research going into MDMA, which is the psychedelic active hormone, if you will, that's within mushrooms. They also have it synthetic. I don't really like anything synthetic, to be honest with you. Like if I was out for an MDMA experience, like give me the mushroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of research about how it helps people to, I hate to use the phrase like get over. It's not really get over, but overcome trauma and PTSD and all these different issues and even marital issues, which I think that's a whole different thing. Like I think if your therapist is giving you MDMA, she's at a loss. Like
Yeah.
you're beyond her help.
Man, there's so many experiences I'm glad I did not have to go through. Like some of the disaster ones I've had in relationships. Like I've
Oh,
I haven't been married, and that's got to
do
be like it's you know
tell.
it's having like I don't know, I can imagine having like going through a divorce. Like that would be like that'd be the worst, at least not being married. Like when it's over, it's over. It's not like it's over in a year and a half, or whatever. It's over when we can decide on what we're splitting up, that kind of thing. So yeah, no, that can never be easy, man. I never really, yeah, I'm glad I haven't had
It's
to experience.
heartbreaking. It is. It's heartbreaking. If you have kids in the middle of it, it's not only heartbreaking for the two people going through it, no matter if they realize it at the time or not, because a lot of people get caught up in the anger of it when you really have to stay present in the moment of understanding if you came together to make babies, you loved, even if it's for a minute, something about this person. They didn't repulse you to the point to where you wouldn't touch them, like because a lot of people they have, a fling and then you wind up making a child that way. And then a lot of people have a very meaningful relationship and they wind up breaking up after 23 years after they've raised their children. And either way, it's not about the two people that were in the relationship. It's about the children. And it's really heartbreaking. But to lighten up the conversation a little bit, so I don't even know how to ask the question. Like, what are some of your relationship stories and what are you looking for? Again, for the fans that are listening, not
Oh,
only are
wow.
we going to use some fat tire beer, but
Get
what are you looking for?
me drunk and I'll tell you anything. Listen, I think I've learned more about what I want by getting so many things I didn't want. Like one of the worst really, I think the thing that really sort of broke the camel's back. I was engaged like officially one time with a ring and that didn't work out. And in hindsight, thankfully, this is back. Ooh, that must have been a hellacious drink of shine there.
It's
So,
the peaches,
yeah.
the moonshine soaked peaches. Okay, so you were engaged
So yeah, and
twice.
then after but before that, I was like another girl and I had talked about getting married, and that didn't work out. And but thankfully, I never really sprung for a ring because when I did spring for a ring, I was like this poor college graduate school kid. I sold half of everything he had to get a ring. And I had this kick-ass guitar and like amplifier, snakeskin pick guard. Like I was, so I sold that stuff too and then got a ring that I could afford. And then of course it didn't work out, I was in a place in life where I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't really know me. And I sort of had to like I was just like trying to break out of the area where I lived at and grew up at. So, I did that and just, left. So I think a lot of the relationships I had were kind of probably as a result of that failed engagement. Like I was just
Really?
always waiting on the other shoe to drop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
In a way. And while like I talked to like Dr. Liz here. So one of the other things was I think that ruined sabotaged a lot of relationships is probably my own relationship with my father. And to see what kind of father he was and what kind of husband he was. And I'm not throwing my dad under the bus. God rest his soul. Love him. Take a bullet for him. I wish he was still around, but we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And when I was a very young man, even in high school, it's like, man, if I, I can never bring myself to ruin someone's life or their children's lives by being that kind, you know what I mean? By taking on some of the traits that my dad did. And thankfully, he turned out to be a better man later in life. But like at that point, I didn't need a dad. Like I'd already grown up. So that was part of it. I think that sort of in the back of my mind, psychologically. So I hate to say daddy issues, but like, maybe. I mean, life is what it is. You learn from it. And the last like serious relationship, well, not say, I don't say serious relationship, but it was a serious relationship I had before I left Cincinnati. Was a girl I thought, a lady I thought was going to move back here with me because I was starting up a brand new business and I left my job at Fidelity and I'd been in the corporate world for so long and I just wanted like something new and it's coming back here. And she told me she wanted to just love me and wanted to marry me. And I thought, that is awesome. I'm finally to a point where I could kind of get to this point in life, And I made a surprise trip up to see her. I made sure she wasn't busy that weekend. And I went up to Cincinnati to visit her, got a room downtown, reservations at this nice Italian restaurant downtown. We were going to hang out, have fun. So I called her repeatedly on my way there, and she never answered, even though I knew she said she wasn't working, wasn't busy, didn't have any plans. Turned out, I guess she went out to another party, hooked up with a guy, got pregnant from a one night stand. And that was really the last time that I was like, it takes a lot for me to kind of move into that realm of like relationship. And probably that time probably is like, you know what? I'm not gonna chase anybody anymore. Life is too damn short. I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm a good catch. So if anybody wants to look for me, then that's fine. And then we'll play it by ear at that point. But like I never really sort of went on the hard chase after that, like a guy just looking to settle down. So yeah, and when she told me the news that she was pregnant with another guy's kid, and I was, I did try. I tried to talk her to like, what? It's not, it happened. It's sort of not that, not the child's fault. Try to talk her into having the kid, Not that I was going to be responsible. Yeah, that was, but
Yeah.
she decided not to.
Oh.
I would have felt bad by not trying to talk her into having, even if she
Yeah.
put it up for adoption. But that's what happened. And it's like, man, life can really kick you in the nuts once in a while, you know? And so it's like, it's just kind of like, but when I got over the bitterness, which didn't take very long, honestly, because I went through a really dark depression and a lot of things were going on with my dad. He was dying, and just a lot of things going on personally. And at that point, the business I had with my business partner, a couple of attorneys took us for a ride, and I got ripped off for about $250,000. About crashed me, like it like almost ruined me financially in every which way and emotionally. And so I had to like start all over again after all those years, like saving, work for like corporations and all this stuff. So it's like, you know what? Life is full of lessons. And at that point, it's like I just changed my psychology. It's like I don't have to do these things today. I get to freaking do these things today. So once I've dug myself out of that depressive hole and I wrote this first book called Pot of Gold, like I was totally a different person at that point. And so anyway, that's my relationship. Like, and all the relationships in between, and like since that, since her in Cincinnati was like, you know, they've been kind of like relationship light, but like some of the, it's just right. Maybe sometimes good people, but it's not the right fit. And it's not
Yeah.
that I've always like been the wholesome one. Like there are three or four, you know, women that have been great, but I was just an asshole. They caught me at the wrong time of life. And I was big enough later on to call them and apologize about
Wow.
things in relationships that like I had regrets at, and like I did not want to like go forward. Like it was like for one girl, it's kind of weird. Like, what are you calling me for? She's like, listen, this happened in our relationship, and I've had a lot of regrets about this over the years. And I just want you to know that you are a better person than that, and I'm glad you're doing great. And I think for one, she broke down and cried. Like she really needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was not always like the nicest guy, the easiest guy to date, you know. Some guys play hard to get, I play hard to want. So we all have our games.
Want.
So we all have our games we play.
Wow.
But no, that's sort of like where I'm at. It's like, what am I looking for? Somebody that makes me want to be a better man every day. I'm not looking for somebody that needs to be saved. Or somebody, you know, somebody looking for their savior, their knight in shining armor, or somebody, I don't know, that's trying to redefine themselves. I mean, I had an ex that actually sought me out again that was like, she's constantly trying to redefine herself. I'm like, you don't even know who you are. Like, why are you wanting to like do anything serious with
Yeah.
me? And I think that was kind of a wake up. But I just think I've learned so much, and it's like when I get there, I'm gonna know it. Somebody who's smart, you know, all those things, smart, have a great conversation, because all those intimate things, that's not always there. But somebody you can talk to. I don't want to grow old with somebody. I want to like laugh my ass off with somebody. You know what I mean? I want to act like an immature little bastard when I'm 65. So.
Well, see, and I think that's the thing. Like, you know, I was scrolling through one of the social medias late at night last night, because again, you know, wake up in the middle of the night. And it was something that came across, and then I fell asleep immediately after, and I woke up this morning and my phone was like on the floor. So I literally passed out in the middle of this thing. But it was showing a vignette, you know, like a video vignette, and then there were words, you know, narrating it. And it was talking about, you know, not finding someone that you can grow old with, finding someone that is your childlike match, and you can be
Yeah.
children. You can just have fun, because at the end of the day, no matter how old we get, at least for me and from like what I've seen, I'm still just that little girl. I just want to have fun. I want to run around outside and climb trees, and you know, it, like I just want to have fun.
That makes a lot of sense because, you know, when I'm 65 and 70, I wouldn't want my wife to be so dry that she would be a wouldn't play a prank on me, you know, or help me play a prank on the neighbor. So, you know, those types of things. Life's too short. It's just too short. We don't have nearly enough time. We think we do. And like I look back at all the regrets I have, things I wish I'd have done, places I wish I'd have went, times I wish I'd have had and experienced, but I just didn't for one reason or another, because I was chasing something, trying to get the next promotion in, you know, the corporate world, or who am I going to impress at the job? Then I saw this meme one day, like this was way years later, but like, and it was so rang true, which is why I quit Fidelity in the first place. It's like, why work for a place that would replace you in 2 days if you drop dead to tomorrow? And why are you killing yourself for a place that's going to replace it? You're just completely replaceable. That literally happened. A guy died at his desk.
Wow.
Yeah. And the next hiring round, they had somebody else in there. It's like, that was a human being. That guy had a family, he had a stroke and died or something, or heart attack, something. But it's like, why do they do that? I mean, I remember people who got laid off that were like totally into the cold corporate thing. And then when it came my time, it's like, I'm busting my ass chasing somebody else's dream. Why am I not chasing my own? And
Right.
it has been one hell of a struggle since I left. I don't have 401ks to fall back on or company provided health insurance, all this stuff. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right.
I'm not here to chase, somebody else's dream. I mean, hell, I got one shot at life. Run your own race.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I think, our pot of gold, if you will, is within what we love to do. And there's nothing but fear that holds most people back from doing what they love to do. And yeah, just work in the corporate world, it's business. It's all business and it's cold.
Yeah.
And you have to know that piece of life to be able to get into business mode when you have to. Because even when you do what you love to do, you still need those management skills, right? And those management skills are cutthroat and they are cold. But, to work within that for me and my personality, and I'm half A type, half D type. So there's a big part of me that D type is creative and artistic, and then the A type, we all know A type people.
Yeah.
It's just it wasn't where it was at for me because I felt like I was boxed. And my box has to be open. Like
Yeah.
I stay within the four walls if I have to, but it's got to be opened.
Yeah, you're exactly right. 'Cause like, I do two things, right? I'm an investment advisor and I'm co-owning my own company with a partner. But I write and I love writing and I love storytelling. And just that creativity. I love learning and reading and just whatever. And if I won the lottery tomorrow, I keep telling myself, hey, the dream would be buy a cabin by the lake, buy a house by the lake and just write your novels. But then 2 weeks into that, I would feel so empty because I'm not helping somebody do something with investing or researching stocks or like I got hooked onto that when I was in high school. So it's just like grown into my DNA at this point. I would feel empty. So I couldn't do like one or the other. But I'm like that, A and then D. What do you do with that?
Well,
That's a hard mesh, but those who hit their stride doing it, that's awesome. I mean, you do so much creatively with your show. And it is so cool because you spend more time building people up. And like that is so cool to see because not many people, you see their shows, they have their name out there, and like they're the star of the show all the time. And you're like the Alex Trebek of the talk show thing because he never wanted to be the star. He wanted the people who are contestants to be the stars. And you bring people on there and you let them tell their story. And there's some people you can tell they never really got a chance to talk that way because people are just bombarding them with questions. And it's so cool to see that you just build people up. And that's part of your D. But then I don't know, is that part of the A as well?
It's really a collaboration between the two because I have to be so organized and so researched on people to be able to ask them questions. And then I have to be fearless at the same time and embrace the D side of saying, just because you have an A-lister in front of you, just because you have somebody that's been in all the films that you love, and you're a little bit of a fan also, you've got to be able to bring them back to their childhood and, be personable and delicate and warm so that they feel safe and not just give you bullshit answers, to actually, expose like what was it like in your world before all this began? And no, people don't ask that question. People ask, what are you working on? They only have 5 minutes of time for you. So it's going to be, what are you working on? Where can we see it? What are you working on next? Next. And
Yeah.
that's just boring to me.
Yeah, that's why when you watch those late night shows, I used to love watching Johnny Carson staying awake, dating myself, right? But I love staying awake and watching him and Jay Leno because it's always so fun and entertaining. But like, you get somebody on there I really liked. It's like, why do you only have 10 minutes with
Right.
And asking those questions and getting people to open up, that's not an easy thing to do. That's a skill. And you have to have a rapport with people quickly to get them to open up and answer sometimes some of the questions you'd ask. Like, the
I think
first time I went on your show, if we'd talked about like cunnilingus, the hell no, I would have clammed up and like, but I've known you a long time, right? So it's all right to do that. But it's like, nah, I don't, but you build rapport with people so quickly. And it's so cool to see when people at the end of the show, like they're praising you. And like, I've seen
I
so
know.
many people do that. That's
Crazy to me.
awesome because, well, you gave them a format that no one else gave them. Like, you ought to be like the talk show queen of Atlanta. Like, honestly, on TV, local access. But it's like, how the hell no one's done that? It's like, I don't understand that. It's like, it's entertaining to watch you talk to people and have them open up. People who never had that platform.
I enjoy it. I enjoy engaging with people and being present. And I can see through people. So I guess maybe something tells me the right things to ask, but you could put me in a room with 50 people and I can get through to all of them because I don't know, I just look at the eyeballs and all the information comes to me. And it's like, okay, this person is strong on their ego. They're wealthy, they're this, this, and this. So then your posture has to change because you have to become one of them. And I don't know, maybe I'm part reptilian in a positive
No,
way.
that's you're absolutely right. I read a lot of books on like talking with people and building rapport because like for my day job, you sort of have to be like half psychologist sometimes. You got to get under the hood and find out what makes people nervous, what makes them tick, what they like, what they don't like, sort of because it's their money, right? Like I'm working with all day long, and no, you do have to like when you mimic someone's posture or mimic their tone of voice and you can tell, and I've been able to tell over, I've been doing it since like 99. I can see when people like suddenly get comfortable, or I can see when somebody they're suspicious all of a sudden, and then I'll just go back to being me, and if they're comfortable with that, great. Like sometimes it just takes people a while. Yeah, you do that like so flawlessly with people on your show, and it's
Thank
a
you.
No, seriously, you really do. And it's awesome to see that. And, especially when you have people, I know they've been interviewed a million times, like the guys from Flock of Seagulls. That was one that's like kind of stood out. And then the guy who was like single dad, that guy, he's had that story to tell, but I guarantee you he's never told that story the same way he told it on your show. Because he's probably been on
Possibly
local stuff.
not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of the more recent ones that I had on was Mike Score. And Mike Score was a front man for Flock of Seagulls. And so he has been with the microphone in front of his face since he was, what, 18 when they came together in the 80s with that band.
Yeah.
And he actually said to me before we went on, he said, something to the effect of, I've been asked every question under the moon. And so right away, my ears hear that, and I'm like, okay, I'm striving for a, that's a good question, right? Because when I hear, that's a good question, it's like a drinking game to me. It's addictive because that means that I'm actually on target and I'm feeling the right thing that I'm supposed to be feeling. And they're getting comfortable with me to engage me in answering that question instead of just spitting out whatever. And they haven't been asked it before.
Yeah.
So that's like a big bell ringer for me is to get somebody to go, that's a good question. And then they quick, you can see the eyes searching for the answer. And then you get into a conversation about
Yeah.
it. And that's cool. I love that. And I got one or two out of him.
Yeah, and that's so cool because I remember in the 80s, like I'm such an 80s, I don't know if you ever knew this, but I wrote a book about the 80s called The Ultimate 80s. And Flock of Seagulls is a band I really liked back in the day. As far as that new wave came in, that British wave, I remember reading an article where Mike Score got so annoyed at the fan base because Iran was such a big song. Now, he made a shit ton of money off of it, I'm sure. Well, for that time, right? Because back then, I think the record labels are probably still ripping people off. He, you know, they still did really well and they toured a lot. It was a big hit. Still is a big hit. And it took him a long time to actually kind of get over the anger of that song and just like he felt he was pigeonholed. And he said he hated playing that song. They had to play it all the time. He hated it. Hated it with a passion. But then he started, got to a point where he loved it again because he just saw the, he got past like the annoyance and saw the joy in people's eyes because like they're reliving a part of life that they're, you know, they're not going to get back. And it's so cool. And I'm glad to see that he was not that angry, bitter rock star that felt like a one-hit wonder because they weren't a one-hit wonder. They had quite a few over in Europe, and they had like three or four pretty good ones here. But you know, he was one of my favorite interviews you had because he seemed like a pretty good guy. He had a path in life he walked, and not always easy.
Yeah, no, he was super, super great, engaging, kind guest to have on. And you know, like I get it. Like I've heard that so many times, especially for in the music world, you know, where it's like they or comedy even, they want you to tell that one joke, you know, tell that one joke that went absolutely viral. It's like, how can you get annoyed at it? You know, that's how you became what you are today. But at the same time, they're artists. So I get it because they're standing there trying to sell their new stuff. And it's like, oh, they want to hear this thing from 30 years ago, but what about our new song? And then you just kind of see the crowd, like they haven't really heard it. And then all of a sudden you play this old dusty thing and the crowd's electric.
So,
So.
suddenly you go from like the new greatest guy to like the to the classic rock, you know. It's like, and I sort of get that because as some of the books, especially the one I just finished, that if we get the right push on this book, I think would go huge. But I wouldn't want people to remember anything I wrote by one particular book.
No.
But so let me ask you this though: what when you first started your show, what made you want to start that show to begin with?
So I had just finished the live show, the Elizabeth Cooper show, which was shot at the Atlanta Comedy Theater here in Atlanta, of course. And I really enjoyed it. So what had happened, and it was sort of, you know, a comedy of errors of how I got into that seat. And the same thing with the cooking show. I was working as a producer with Turning Point Broadcasting, and he had someone else in that spot for host. And the owner turned to me and he's like, but I think you can do it too. So myself and the other girl that was up for host, we did like a mock interview. And it was more of an audition mock interview. And he looked at me and he's like, you got it. You there's something about the way you talk to people, you got it. So it really wasn't originally for me. And then we changed the name and we got the location and shot a full season. And I just loved it. And then, you know, I saw this side-by-side thing on social media. I'm just scrolling one day, and all of a sudden I see this two screen, you know, side by side, where somebody's talking to another person. And of course, I clicked on it to listen to it, say, what is this? Because it was brand new. This was 2017. This was brand new. The most that you could do was post pictures, you could post videos, maybe go live. I'm pretty sure you could go live then. But they didn't have the split screen technology until then. So I got the software and I'm like, let's try it. And come to find out, I had made some really great contacts between New York and LA and Atlanta. And I just begged people to be on it. And I'm like, I can't really tell you much, but come on. And that's how it started. So it just took a couple of episodes. And then there were a few times where I get busy with projects. So, you know, I kind of step away from the show, just like now. I've stepped away from the show for several months. Because I have my grandson Monday through Friday, and I love him. I'll never get this time back, but he is sucking up any time that I have for production of the show. So it, you know, I'm just taking a short break from it. But anyway, so I would be booked on gigs, And I couldn't film. So I take like a month break or 2 month break. And then all of a sudden, somebody would call me and be like, hey, are you still doing that show? I want to come on the show. And it just kept going and going and going. So, it's ongoing since 2017, the Caffeinated Cooper Show. And I came up with the name because a couple of my guests, like, they knew me. They knew, like, easygoing, calmer vibe, me. But then when the camera's on, I'm like, hey, how you doing? So we got, so and so from Los Angeles. And what's the weather like out there? And we would disconnect and they're like, Elizabeth, you didn't tell me that I needed to bring my energy to like here to be able to match you. So that's, I kept hearing that. And it's the Caffeinated Cooper Show. Even though I
Caffeinated.
drink coffee, I just come across as like caffeinated on
You
film.
just drink moonshine.
I
Yeah,
do drink my moonshine.
you got a little
Even my
buzz yet? You have a little buzz yet?
I think so.
Yeah, I've got a little bit going here. Yeah, I'll keep it rocking later. So hey, let's get into this weird gonzo portion of this show.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
I'm glad you didn't ask me my technique earlier.
What technique?
When we
When
were
I...
talking about the naughty stuff.
Oh, let's back up. What's your
No,
technique?
I'm
Because
not saying that.
I was thinking about it, because I had to do some research. We're, guys, just, we don't want to give you whiplash right here in this conversation, so I'm going to catch you up to speed. We were talking about cunnilingus. We're picking back up with cunnilingus. Okay, so when I was married, I think I was married. He was terrible at it. So I'd start researching and I'm like, how do you go down on women? And the whole two finger thing, like you press, like there's a spot you press just as you go in, you press, and then you're doing the tongue stuff. It's amazing. What's your technique?
I'll tell you off the show. I'm not giving away all my secrets. I'm not giving away all of them,
Not fair.
but I do have a technique, and I did have a bed frame that had this girl I dated for a while. I love that. You could, well, that's old bed frame. Still, if you found it now, you'd probably still see her fingernail marks
Wow, nice.
the top of the head. But anyway, I regress. I'll get into that later. We were going to talk about some crazy, weird stuff here. Like, so let's get into the gonzo portion. We're going to talk about boobs, but we're going to talk about man boobs. Like, crazy. Oh, well, we can talk about those. That's fine.
No, it's okay. All right, man boobs.
This is the funniest thing,
I
man,
didn't think.
because like in the world of entertainment, people get older, and their bodies sag, and that's, it happens. It happens. But like, why do some men in the Hollywood world run around shirtless with their distended bellies and their big man tits? Like, so I, like let's find the top of like in pop culture or sports or entertainment or whatever. Who had the most impressive man boobs? Yeah, who do you, anybody come to mind?
Yep, Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he's got some perky ones, little bananas, don't he?
He
He
does.
does. I know she's always wearing a jacket in whatever role he's in these days, and that's okay. I
Just
hate
found
Steve.
another one.
Go ahead.
David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff, that
The
drunken bastard.
Hoff.
The Hoff. He's one drunken. He's the guy, for people who don't remember, who like lambasted his daughter while he was drunk off his ass on the floor eating a cheeseburger off the floor. He didn't even respect the 5 second rule, which right there
No.
is breaking man code right there. It's a, like you go from like man code, like you got the 5 second rule, we'll give you that. But after that, you're just gross, dude. He's talking
Yeah.
about what kind of a pig his daughter is. While he's eating a cheeseburger off the floor, drunk off his ass. Yeah, he's got an impressive pair. You know who I
Yeah.
hate to see? I hate the beach photos of certain people. And the one that annoys me the most is like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because I know at one point he was ripped, he was Conan, He probably still looks great for his age, but these big baloney tits, man. I can't. I'm looking at that. And I'm like, I just see two pieces of baloney with nipples. Like, dude, put a freaking shirt on. Like, seriously.
You would think he would get it fixed. I don't think he's had any plastic surgery.
Well, some people have to fix it. And you know who needs to have, like, I can tell you two coaches right now, every time they were on TV, even on the sideline, like, I'm looking at him, like, dude, put a jacket on, put some, cover those mams up. It's like Bill Belichick for the Patriots, because that guy has the healthiest pair of man tits I think I've ever seen. And Bill Belichick, Bill Bel, or Bill Parcells, all right? He used, all right? So he was the old coach. Like, he's got these banana tits that hang out. And I'm like, dude, like, even Andy Reid for the Chiefs, at least he wears a jacket on the sideline in the summer, something heavy to cover his up. But man, you're like flaunting him around, like Travis Kelce's looking at him when he wants to bang his boobs. It's like, dude, just even Travis Kelce's looking at his lips on the sideline, looking over at Belichick. It's like, put another shirt on, dude.
Is
Before
that what
he,
you have to do? Do you have to
before,
layer the shirts? Like, what do you do to
I don't
have
know what you do. Well, when you got him like Parcells, I don't know how you hide it, but like, Belichick, but I don't know, Belichick's pretty hefty too. I've seen him in like a business shirt, and I'm like, dude, like that Seinfeld episode where they had the bra and the bro, go get a bro,
jeez.
pull that stuff in tight, and I mean, I know it happens with age, but just like, find some better wares. I don't know what to tell you, man. Drip with something different. Come up with something better. But Steven Tyler is another guy. My God.
Man,
Talk about baloney tits.
yeah, that's not aging well at all.
No, he looks like somebody's grandma at this point. Dude looks like a lady. I never thought we'd see it happen. You know?
It's happening.
It happened. It happened hardcore. I don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm sitting there thinking, that guy had groupies, and I'm single. F.
What about Keith Richards? Does he have?
I don't know. He always wears, he looks like a pirate when he's on stage anyway, not just in the Pirates of the
He
Caribbean.
does.
I have no idea. The only one that looks like the grandpa, that like a legit grandpa in the group, or a legit old man, is the guy who plays drums. Like, he wears like a, like an Izod jacket or something, and like Dockers. It's like, yeah, he looks like an old man. None of the rest of them do. They're wearing leather, and I
How
don't
do you
get it.
feel about that? I mean, how do you feel about Steven Tyler aging and looking the way he is? And like all these guys are just, they're kind of decrepit. I know a lot of it has to do with the hard lifestyle, right? The
Oh.
roadie, it's drugs, it's alcohol, it's, not taking care of yourself. I don't think anybody drank a bottle of water like it, ever. It's just
Keith Richards has had a
alcohol.
bottle of, yeah, Richards has had a bottle of water since Reagan was in office. Since the Steel Wheels tour. My sister and her husband, they went to see the Rolling Stones on the Steel Wheels tour back in the 80s. I wanted to go, and I didn't get to go. Damn it. It's like one of my regrets in life. I wanted to see the Stones. But my brother-in-law comes back and it's like, Keith Richards has to be the greatest guitar player ever. And I'm like, he's good, like, but greatest ever? He's like, no. Listen. That guy set a full bottle of Jack at the base of the drums when the show started. That bottle was empty when the show was over, and he was playing as smooth as he was when the show started. I'm like, damn. Wow. So yeah, no wonder they picked him for the pirate movie. He's a pirate. Who knew?
That's crazy.
You
I
know,
mean, that.
I don't know how people live that way. If I was going to be a rock star in the 80s, I would have wanted to die in 92 when grunge killed everything. Just because it's like, so you're going to get any better? Probably not. Because the last 30 years, I'm going to be on dialysis. Like, so.
Know who I haven't seen, and he was like all over TV and all over the media, was Bret Michaels. Is Bret Michaels doing anything?
Yeah, he's still alive. I mean, he's I know he's a
Oh,
d bad diabetic, but yeah, he was in the
he's
hospital. He really bad at one point, but he's, I think he's back on tour. Actually, not long ago, maybe within the last year, he was over in Bristol, which is like an hour away from me, and they played at a place over there, him and somebody else, Billy Idol.
Oh, okay.
So Billy Idol's still touring. But
Yeah,
Brett
Billy Idol,
Michaels, yeah, he
totally different.
Billy Idol used to rock it, man. I saw him on the Access TV, one of those concerts from like a handful of years ago. He was sweating his ass off, but he was still, man, he was still Billy freaking Idol. That was cool. That was cool.
I mean, I went to the Depeche Mode concert and they were amazing. I mean, they're all up there in age,
Yeah.
but they were amazing. I couldn't believe the energy they had to just
Yeah.
keep going. And their encore was like five songs.
Do you have a favorite song?
I do. God, I'm bad with names, especially when I've been drinking. Really bad. I like the one, you know that one?
Personal Jesus?
Yeah, that's the one I
Well,
was.
that's a
The
great
only
one.
thing that came to my mind was Sunday because Personal Jesus and Sunday. But yeah, Personal Jesus is definitely one of my
That's
ones.
that is a one cool song. You know another song I really love, and I always get it mixed up between them and The Cure, but it's The Cure. I don't know how I get that mixed up because that guy, the lead singer, just like, doesn't look anything like Depeche Mode, but like Pictures of You.
Oh, yeah, The Cure.
That is a great, great song. Yeah. So I mean there's some songs that really, but there were some great songs back then. I love with having Prime that I can put together my own timeline playlist or whatever, and like different playlists, and I just could say, hey
Oh,
LEXA, play this or whatever. And
yeah.
I got my own personal stuff, but it's but I've got Personal Jesus on one of them, The Cure on a couple,
Yeah,
things that like
Fascination
people
Street
don't
was
even
good.
remember.
Fascination Street was, it was Pictures of You and Fascination Street for The
That was a
Cure.
great one.
Me,
That was a
that
great one.
I love those two. And then some off of their first album that it, I mean, the first album is out there. It's they have the song which would never ever, I mean, I don't think it even got airtime very much back then, but it was Killing an Arab. And it's just this weird Cure song, but it was on one of their first, I think the first album they had,
You
and
know what?
it was funky.
You want to hear a politically incorrect song that I don't know if anybody would play on the radio today? Eddie Money, Give Me Some Water.
Oh.
Yeah, Give Me Some Water. Because the next verse is, I killed a man on the Mexican border.
Right.
Yeah, that would go over well today in Lib Country. Oh, man. But so anybody else have like amazing man tits?
God, I'm gonna have to Google this. Amazing Mantis. It's pretty much all of the older actors. You know, the one that I hate to see that really hasn't aged very well is what the heck is his name? He was Bond like
Yeah,
20 years ago.
Pierce
Pierce
Brosnan.
Brosnan.
Yeah.
Not aging well. What's his name? He was in Grumpy Old Men. Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. Yeah, he's got. Dude,
He's
he's just.
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, he could squeeze those together and take a toy. Okay, he probably could.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I mean,
Ice-T.
that feel like men, boys, you know, they're obsessed with them. They just want to see them. They want to play with them. What
Of
is
course.
that when you cross over and now you have a pair? Sort of like Little Nicky. You remember that crazy movie where he had the boobs?
Yes.
Like what? Like is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing in the man world? What is
It's a
it?
bad thing in the man.
Okay.
Yeah. And as I get old, like most men are probably like, oh God. Like I used to like my wang, and now like now the berries are hanging down to the ground. It's like gravity picks up in places you just don't like. Now you got
Really?
hair on your ear. What the hell happened there? Like, I don't know. I'm gonna try to grow old with a sense of humor.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, hey, look, now I'm like, a gremlin. Look at that. Maybe I'll get Spock ears as I grow older. I don't know. I don't know.
So they always talk about that, you know, about men's gonads that they will hang. I don't know what it is, but how do you keep them like perky? Nobody ever talks about that. How do you keep them perky?
I
Is there
don't
an
know, but
exercise?
I know I've never heard of anything like that, but I see this commercial all the time, these pop-up ads, and I don't know why they pop, because I have not looked up underwear for men online, but they have this thing where like this little pouch you can put your nuts in. I'm like, why? Literally, why? Because the underwear are pretty tight underneath anyway when they come around. You know, they give you a little hug. It's okay.
Okay.
I don't know, like, unless you're just wearing straight up boxers and you're hanging halfway down your thigh. But that sounds like something you should see a doctor.
Yeah, their ball hammock.
Yeah, the
Gosh,
ball.
I think Shinesty is the company that makes some of the ball hammock underwear.
Right.
And so for us, like, I could totally see, if I had someone to buy that for, I probably would, because it's like, okay, that seems functional, because we wear bras and all that kind of stuff. So we put our parts in places.
I don't think it
It
would be
just seems
functional.
fun. Bras are not comfortable. Is that
No,
what you're
I
saying?
mean, I don't think it would be functional or comfortable to have the hammock. Like,
Interesting.
I just like, you know, I mean, I wear boxer briefs anyway, so it's kind of, yeah. But I just can't imagine, like, hey, let's pick them up and set them in this little pouch down here. And that just seems like something waiting to grab a stray hair. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't sound, I just don't sound, I've never worn them, but maybe it's functional. Maybe I'll give it a try.
So, okay, you said it might pull a hair. So, do you manscape?
I'm not a very hairy guy. I've never had a need.
Okay. Interesting.
How's that for a Gonzo Chronicle exclusive? I'm sort of like, I don't have much chest hair, you know, like I don't have much in the way of leg hair. Like, you'd have to look as, because when I was little, my hair was so blonde it was almost white. So I don't know if, like, over the years it just sort of stayed the way. But I don't say I'm a hairless freak, but like, if I tried to like manscape, I'd be like, what am I manscaping? There's not enough really down there to, you know what I
Okay.
mean? So I got off easy, I guess. Other people, you know, looks like Gene Shalit has you in a headlock. I don't know. Looks like you have an afro down there. I don't know. I've seen American Pie or American Wedding. I'm not ruining a cake. I'm probably not ruining a cupcake. So it's like, thankfully, I never had that problem. Maybe that's
Okay.
just like with having fair hair, like blonde hair or whatever. You know, some people just have like a lot of hair and other people don't. I used to work with this some bitch at Fidelity. Annoying little bastard. He was a nice guy once in a while, but he was an asshole. He was an asshole. Just leave it at that. And if this guy walked around without a shirt, I swear to God, he had a sweater on. Like, he was that hairy. And I'm like, that's, dude, I don't even want to see you in a pair of like tight shorts. Don't show up at the pool. Don't show up at the pool. Because it's going to look like you have a macadamia bush down there in your pants, you know, hiding your little willy. So just don't do it.
I honestly think it's the guys that don't like to be hairy more than it is women. See, I think women like hairy men.
Within reason, I hope.
I
I mean,
guess. I mean, like, if your back hair is like growing up over your shoulders and like it's a continuation, okay, maybe that's a little bit too
yeah,
much.
you don't want Sasquatch or.
Fix it, because if you just waxed your shoulders, like, you'd have bald spots, and like that would be weird. I don't know how you'd fix it, but I don't know. I think it's guys that don't like the hairy chest, but I don't
Not either.
know.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I've never had the problem to even worry about it. So that's
Well, that's
me. That's a good thing. One less thing to worry about.
One last thing to worry about, ladies.
Ladies, you know what? I think as far as like the top two people with man boobs and entertainment, Ice-T, like Coco has nothing on Ice-T. I hate seeing beach
Man.
pictures of that guy because he could do helicopters with those things. You put tassels on that guy. That guy could do that. And Meatloaf, God rest his soul, love that guy as a singer. But the Fight Club, dude. Dude. That guy could have been T-banged by a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, if that was me, I would have fun with it. I would put tassels on just for the hell of it. Just to,
Thought you did that on the
give a
weekends
little
anyway.
spark. No, not anymore. I had to give it up. No,
Who wrote that
I've
rule?
worn tassels once, and it was for a production. It was for Oh, does anybody remember the TV show Halt and Catch Fire?
Yes.
Yeah,
I love that show.
I was on that episode 7, season 1.
F out of here, for real.
Yeah, it was in a strip club and I was one of the strippers that they had me in like bikini bottoms and tassels. And that was a lot of fun because, when they would cut, we all had like these big fluffy robes. And so you could just put your robe back on. And I kind of had my robe over, and then I was trying to get them to go in the same direction, and I was playing with it like that. Yeah. But, when they say it's a closed set, it's really not a closed set because there had to be every crew member around in there because there were about five of us that had bikini bottoms on with tassels, and we were all strippers for that scene. And yeah, I was in camera quite a bit. That was during my 3 months of extra work in there before I went to my first real audition. But yeah, it was
All
a
right,
lot of fun.
I had one question I want to ask you before we close out the show. If you had to be trapped in a TV show for a month, which show would you choose and why?
Gilligan's Island. Because you can get lost on the island. You can not have to be around a lot of people. And because you could lay out and like get a whole body tan. I mean, there's not a lot of people. Just go walk to the other side of the island, make the other side nudist side, you know?
Yeah,
But yeah,
who's gonna complain? Who's
I
gonna
would be.
complain? Marianne? No.
Right. Yeah. Screw Marianne. Yeah. No. How about you? What is the TV show that you would be okay being trapped inside of?
I thought long and hard about this because I used to love The Sopranos. And then I thought, whoa, hell no.
No.
Hell no. That's not what I want to be trapped in. Definitely not Dateline or Walking Dead. Cheers. I'm gonna go old school and go Cheers.
Yeah.
They had some adventures. They had some laughs. They had some beers, and they had Woody and Sam. So, what more do you need, right? Really?
Yeah, that's per I could see you there. That's perfect.
Norm. I used to be the Norm of Sunset Pub. Crazy. I had the seat at the end of the bar, the stool at the end of the bar. Like when I would walk in, whoever sat down, say, like, "JCC, got a seat."
That's so
was
cool.
that is funny. What do I hope everybody had an enjoyable time listening to this hell of a show. This might be one of the most entertaining shows I've recorded, but without a doubt, the most entertaining show I have recorded. And you want to plug the show? Anything coming on coming up next?
Actually, I have some personal stuff coming up next. So on Saturday, we start rehearsal for a channel surfing. So channel surfing is the brainchild of Paul Loudon. And Paul Loudon was in, well, he was as a child. He was a child actor. He's continued into acting. He was diagnosed, I don't know, maybe 30s when he was in his 30s somewhere, late 30s, with stage 4 cancer. And he beat it. And so then he developed channel surfing, which is very much like I want to say sketch comedy because that's how it appears, but it is fully scripted. It is absolutely hilarious. And he does these shows to benefit cancer, the cancer, American Cancer Society. So we are going into rehearsals this Saturday, and then we have three shows to test the Atlanta market in April. And then I'm headed to Nashville to go work with Planet Platinum Records. And I had one too many. I'm tripping up on the names. So going to Planet Platinum Records because I kind of called in a favor, and it was just on a whim. When you have these weird ideas and you like send somebody a quick text, well, they actually called me back and they're like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So I asked if we could test my voice and possibly put it into one of the projects, as well as write some more music because that's what I do. I'm a music lyrical writer for them. So we're gonna get to work on that. And then in the fall, I'm headed up to Massachusetts to work on a movie. It's called Nocturnal Spirito. Is that how you say it? Is
That is.
Spirit? Yeah,
Yeah.
Nocturnal Spirito. And that is a vampire movie, but it's a little quirky. It has some quirkiness to it with a little bit of romance, some comedy, and then it's a vampire witch movie. So we're going to film that in Massachusetts. And then in the beginning of the year, I am in another film, and this is through, God, I don't have my notes in front of me. This is through the same studio with Ian Stevens. And Ian, you can find him on IMDb. You'll find these movies on IMDb. But the next one is, oh man, I'm having a brain fart on this one, but it's a human trafficking film. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's Innocence Returns,
I think so.
something.
I saw you post it on Facebook.
I did. So if you check it out on IMDb under Ian Stevens or my name, you'll be able to find it. And that one is based off of a true story. And it's going to be really interesting. So I'm supporting cast in both of them. And I'm also working with the creators of Drop Shot Studio this summer. And we're going up to Helen to do sort of like a on the street, I'm going to host it for them. So I get to ask all these questions, kind of take the temperature of the tourists. And the tourists are like very diverse people from many different backgrounds. It's a weird German town in the middle of the Georgia woods. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And that is for local television there. And I know I'm forgetting something. But I think that's it. So yeah, working on a lot of stuff. So in between there, my show, the Caffeinated Cooper Show, we will have shows coming up. And yeah, just take a look at E. Cooper Studios or email us at ecooperstudios@gmail.com if you want to see somebody or you want to be on.
Awesome. Yeah, make sure you subscribe to her YouTube page and Facebook and Instagram. You won't be sorry. You'll love it. You'll love it the most. You'll dig it the most. So, Elizabeth Cooper, thanks for coming on here. You're always welcome. We always have such fun. And you had a suggestion for a future show. So if we get around to St. Patty's Day and you get a couple of drinks in you, we're going to have a battle, a dirty limerick battle. Come on, man. This is like 8 Mile. Can I call you Rabbit? Can I call you Rabbit?
Yep, you can call me Rabbit.
All right. But no, it's been awesome. So thanks again. And folks, I guess I'll see you on the next Gonzo. We'll see you down the road.